Have you been listening to this show for a while? Do you like this show? Do you want to see it continue? There's one way you can do that. You can actually visit our Patreon page and donate some money to make sure the show continues. That's the only way we fund the show, the only way we make it happen. Go to patreon.com/wehaveconcerns. Find out bonus stuff you can get for supporting us and make sure the show keeps on trucking.
Works.
It's, eat one child, it. Shame on the child.
Yeah.
Eat too many children, that's a lawsuit. This is We Have Concerns. Hi, Jeff Cannata.
Hi, Anthony Carboni.
Hello, concerned citizens.
Why do we fight, Anthony?
You and me?
Yeah.
You fucking think Avatar's a good movie and super memorable.
That's the only reason?
That's it. I just can't stand that you really like
Avatar.
I'm not
gonna let go of that position, so I guess here we are.
I can't. Why would anybody? Ugh.
Well, remarkably, that's not one of the top six reasons in an article that was posted to our subreddit, wehaveconcerns.reddit.com, by user DLWilden2. You can also submit stories.
So you're saying the top six reasons people in general fight?
People in general fight.
Okay.
Six psychological reasons. These are the top six, according to Business Insider, that people fight. This is
probably it's probably like favorite Batman movie isn't Batman Returns.
Yeah.
Like favorite Zelda isn't Link to the Past.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like really important things. Very, like in our core.
Right.
That we evolved. You know, it's cell memory is what it is.
Yeah.
There are these
favorite
things.
Favorite chocolate isn't dark chocolate.
Right. There are all these things.
Yeah.
It's basically Hal and Mark's podcast is why. We got this is why.
So here are the reasons. Let's step through them and see how much you agree or disagree with this or how much it applies to your life.
Okay. And number this is one. Who found these reasons?
This is an article on Business Insider. Evidently, it is a psychological study that has just recently been done. Study of nurses.
Oh.
I guess.
Like studying nurses?
Like
some dudes just like watching nurses.
Yeah.
Like
naughty 80s, nurses.
Like 80s movie style.
Yeah.
That's gross. This guy should be arrested. He shouldn't be writing for Business Insider.
The reason they fight is when one's pillow hits the other's face and the other's pillow hits the other's butt. And,
that's mostly why they fight.
It's such a disagreement. Okay. Number one, you or someone you know has lots of power, but not much respect.
Oh yeah, sure.
So it says a series of studies found that in the workplace, people who are given lots of power but low status tend to have an unusually high level of conflict.
Right, right. So you have a lot of responsibility. You are able to tell people what to do, but people don't respect you for it.
Exactly. So you have a chip on your shoulder.
It's that Napoleon syndrome.
That's perfectly put. Yeah, it's Napoleon syndrome. It's I got to prove myself because I have to live up to the power that I have been given. Mm-hmm. And I myself probably don't even believe I earned it.
But that's the thing. That sounds more like a self-respect issue to me.
Well, that's interesting because I think that's farther down the list. But this is a very specific kind of thing. I think this generates fights from people below you power-wise, status-wise, because they don't respect you. And so when you tell them to do something, they may snide comment or then spark a fight.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Okay. So number two, I think this one's interesting. You or your partner.
That's why I always punch visiting foreign dignitaries in the face.
Because why do they don't get that respect.
If I see a fucking diplomat on the street, diplomats.
Dude, diplomats.
With their sashes and their monocles.
Their little tiny little flags on the corner of their cars.
Ooh, the tails on their coats.
Oh, man.
Oh, and they come in with their accents and their ideas.
They're so diplomatic.
Not in my country.
Mm.
Not in this America.
No.
You snooty foreigner. And then I punch them.
Good punching.
And you're allowed to because you have diplomatic immunity.
That's what diplomatic immunity means.
You're right.
You're able to
you
punch.
You can punch anybody
any
foreign.
Diplomat and you're immune.
Any foreign diplomat.
So number two is you or your partner are not getting enough sleep.
Oh, fuck yeah. How this is that not number one?
This is primo, right?
Tell me about your life in your house right now with a new child.
Oh my God, you picked me on a bad day, Anthony, because
we're going to preface this by saying Jeff Cannata's wife is one of the kindest and most wonderful people in the world.
And is also out of town right now.
Oh no!
So I'm solo dad. This marks the first time I've left my house in 3 days.
Yeah.
So this is a big moment for me. And I've also, I'm working on...
Yeah, but you do the same if a new VR game comes out, though.
Well, that's true. But, yeah, 2 a.m. last night and then 5:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. this morning was final wake up. Those are the two wake ups I had, and I went to bed at about 12:30.
Okay.
So...
Can I ask you, are you the sort of person, are you able to take, like a physical self-inventory, and are you able to, like... Are you able to say, oh, I'm irritable today because I haven't had a lot of sleep? Like, are you self-aware enough in the moment? Some people are, some people aren't.
Sometimes.
I don't know.
There are a few times where I'd be like, oh, I recognize that in myself. And other times.
It's hard.
It's hard.
It's super hard. I am good about knowing when I'm tired. I'm good about knowing, I take various medications to keep my braining. I am very aware of when those are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, or when. I perhaps forgot to take one. I can always tell. But one thing I'm not good at knowing, when I'm hungry.
I get hangry, man. That's a real thing. So is my kid. But yeah, I do that too. I will get so irritable if I haven't had any food. But I also am not smart enough to go, I need food right now.
No, I never notice. And that's one of the things, like, so, you know, I was just on a 4-day shoot, right? And it was long days and it was all live. And I have to really, because those days are so quick, remind myself to keep eating something, because I don't necessarily get irritable, but I do zone out.
Sure.
Like in a way that I can't even, I don't even know I'm doing it. Yeah.
Of course.
And so I would imagine that kind of stuff leads to a lot. I've been an insomniac since go though. So I feel like my level of tired irritability is always like,
I don't think,
at a 9. And so I can control it now.
I think culturally we just completely ignore how much sleep humans need.
Yeah.
To be good people.
I feel like this is something that people notice exactly when you notice it, which is when they have a kid that's about 6-7 months old.
Yeah. I'm like, holy shit.
It's like, sleep is a good thing.
I used to fucking take sleep for granted so much, dude. Sleep is... Ugh.
Oh, bro, I don't even want to tell you how much I slept last night.
Oh, yeah, don't, please.
Because then we'll get into an argument. Yeah. Just like this.
That's what the number two is.
Yeah.
When someone tells you how much they slept and you have a baby.
I'll tell you this. It was good.
I bet.
We better move on to number three.
Number three is, I think you're going to really relate to this one. You're rational to a fault.
Yep.
So it says, research should suggest that humans are actually at their most reasonable when they're arguing, picking positions that are easier to defend from criticism, and thinking over each choice and word more carefully. So, but at the same time, reasonableness makes it hard for people to actually compromise and see one another's points. So when you feel justified in having thought through your position, you're more likely to fight about it.
I have noticed this in myself, and I'm not one of those like neckbeards on the internet that's just like, I am a rational person at all times and cold in logic, and you should never, emotion never goes in. Why are you getting emotional? Like, I fucking hate those people.
Right.
I do get emotional. I am a very emotional person. When there is something to get done, when there is a process, whether it's a work-related process or something logistical.
Mm-hmm.
I do throw all feeling out the window.
Yeah.
And I do really look at it and I go, okay, well, what is the best way to accomplish this project, accomplish this thing? And not everybody does that, especially because we work I work in a lot of collaborative and creative fields. So people love their ideas.
Yeah.
And
so many creative fields. You're like, you create media. You're also a beat poet.
The biggest one. Like, collaborative beat poetry is a big thing with me. And a lot of people don't want to give up their snaps and their, oh, man.
So many
snaps.
What sort of
beret are we going to be wearing? So something that I've learned is I've almost created an algorithm, like a mathematic algorithm in my head. That's just like, here's how much of this process I need for it to go through correctly. And here's how much of this I can give up.
Right.
And here's how often I should give something up within the process to keep everyone happy.
Yeah.
And it becomes a very mathematic thing for me.
For me, the problem is I'm, this is like 100% like zeroed in on my problem, because
you care so much.
I do care, but I also too often am oblivious to the fact that I'm in an emotional argument and I'm arguing rationally.
Oh, okay.
I don't realize that we're having two separate conversations. Yes. One person is talking from their heart.
Yes.
And I'm talking from what seems to be self-evident to me of the clearest, most obvious way through this problem.
Well, yeah. And I've gotten more sensitive to that. There was a moment on a thing recently, on a gig recently, where I was trying to talk about like a problem, like a communication problem within the production team.
Right.
And our producer was like getting like really, really amped up about it and was like, I was like, what is going on here? And I was like, oh, okay. And I had to like think about it and say out loud, I want you to know it feels like maybe you are taking this to heart as criticism of you or how you do things.
Right.
And I want you to know that it isn't that. It isn't about how you're doing your job. We really like, we respect you and we love how well you do your job.
Right.
This is not about that. And it actually turned out to be like, he had a buddy that was on the crew that was kind of like, it was kind of like maybe the cause for some pain points.
Yeah.
And he got really defensive of this friend.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I didn't even know they knew each other outside of work.
Yeah.
This is what this is. We're having two different discussions.
You're in a minefield that you didn't even realize. But you think you could just talk more emphatically because your points are coming from a place of logic.
Right.
And you're like, if all I need to do is lay, oh, you clearly aren't seeing the logic of my position. So here, let me lay it out in a different way.
Which, like, nobody likes to hear that. Right. There's no good way to tell people that they're not being logical.
Right.
If you're in an argument with somebody and you're telling them to be more logical or to listen to reason.
Maybe you just don't hear what I'm saying because my point is irrefutable if you just listen. You know, that's that kind of thing. So, okay, number four. This is probably also a little me, sadly. You're self-involved. So it says...
Never happened to me once. Never in my life have I ever been self-involved. I don't think I... Maybe one of my favorite things about me is how selfless I am.
Uh-huh.
It's one of the many great things about me.
Right.
It's probably number three or four on my list of amazing things about me.
Well, there's a bottomless...
Is how selfless I am.
It just goes all the way down of the investigation of all the things that are great.
I've charted it. I'm kind of trying to find the end of it. Like, people look for the end of pie.
Right.
And I'm like... 663 items into the list of things that are amazing about me.
Wow.
Which should tell you how selfless I am, that selflessness ranks so highly.
Yeah.
God, I have an Evernote document that I can share with you if you'd like to see all the wonderful things about
me.
Are you sure?
I'm good.
I'm happy to invite you to this because I'm a very collaborative person.
Looks like you sent it.
I did send it.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
all right. Well, I'll look at that later.
You don't have editing access to it yet because you are not as... you're not as pithy to the point and well articulated as I am.
Sure.
Which if you look at your doc, that's number 15, 17, and 34.
Oh, look at that.
I also have it memorized.
Yeah. Clearly.
Anyway, go on. Let's talk about selflessness. It's one of my favorite subjects.
You are not this, I guess. So it says, being self-involved improves the odds that after a conflict and its compromise, you find yourself feeling terrible. Mm-hmm. So it basically means that you fight because to admit that someone else is right hurts your self-image.
Right. And you either win the argument and feel bad for arguing against somebody who is arguing a good point.
Yeah.
And getting self-involved and getting wrapped up and being like, no, I win, I win, I win.
Right.
Or you get really self-involved and wrapped up and then you lose.
Right.
And then you feel awful because you put so much of your self-worth into your position.
The people that are the worst about this that I've come across in my life are the people who you'll find yourself...
You can't name a race. You know that, right?
Oh, my God.
You can't say a race. Like, Jeff, you can't.
It's the Italians.
No,
it's the Italians.
Jeff. No.
No, it's...
I'm sorry. I try for over 400 episodes. I've tried to keep his terrible racist positions out of this show.
I hate Italians. No, the people who are the most like this, I find that when I'm having an argument with them, they will end up changing their position through the course of the argument just to still be right.
Getting out of the point.
Yeah, it's like, wait, no, but you just changed what you were even arguing just so that you wouldn't ever have to leave the conversation having admitted you were wrong about anything.
Yeah.
And it drives me batshit, man.
It's bad because once you're in an argument or a discussion like that with somebody, These things tend to be mostly, those kind of things tend to be mostly theoretical, right?
It's duck season, wabbit season, duck season, wabbit season, wabbit season, duck season. Yeah. Wait, what? You know, it's that kind of shit.
Yeah, those kind of things tend to be like philosophical, political,
right.
Like that
Definitely.
Sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. Never. Ugh. Ugh.
All right, number five, you're not kind enough to yourself.
Ugh.
So
I'll tell you what, I have an Evernote document. of things that are wrong with me.
Oh.
And
it's just one. It's just one.
And it's just that I am just not kind enough to myself.
Yeah. That's when you go into
the job interview. And every morning I look at that document, I'm like, hey, today let's try to think a little bit about ourselves. Let's try to make today a little bit more about Anthony and what Anthony wants.
Just open the
Stop
other document.
Stop talking while I'm talking.
Sorry.
And I look in the mirror and I tell myself, hey, buddy, today's the day that you're going to be kind.
Mm-hmm.
Yourself, you're already super kind to others, almost to a fault. Maybe it goes on the negative list. No, you know what? It doesn't go on the negative list. I say this to myself every morning.
Uh-huh.
Because my kindness
is very involved.
Stop talking while I'm talking.
Sure.
My kindness is probably number two
uh-huh.
on the list of best. If you open up your Evernote, which I noticed you closed the Evernote about great things about me.
I did.
I'm not sure why you did that.
Well, I didn't
at this
need
point
to read
in the conversation.
Okay. Maybe if you're just not kind enough to yourself, just open that other document and just peruse it for a while. And
Wow. Like I didn't think about that.
So this is the idea is people with low self-compassion tend to subordinate their own needs when they come to a point of conflict. Mm-hmm. And they feel so bad about themselves, basically, that they get into fights.
Yeah. So, and then when they do get into fights, they feel so badly about themselves, I would imagine that they don't really put their points out there the way they should.
Well, they also project, you know, their own criticisms of themselves onto others.
Okay.
Right.
And they think that other people see them the way they see themselves.
Exactly.
Tricky. So it's like the end of the never-ending story when he has to face himself in the mirror.
Yeah.
Ah.
Or that Michael Jackson song. About looking at the man in the mirror.
Thriller.
Mm-hmm. That's the one. Where he turns into a wolf and then he sees himself in the mirror. And he's
and Macaulay Culkin is there.
I don't recognize that man in the mirror. He's
no.
like a wolf man.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's neither black nor white.
And that kid's not his son.
Mm.
I haven't listened to Michael Jackson in a really long time.
All right. Number six. You're not authentic. So the idea here is that if you're covering up or subverting your own feelings or beliefs, that will eventually burst out and result in fights.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Like pushing your own feelings or thoughts of something down.
Right.
While you're having discussions about an issue.
Maybe you feel because, like, you get mad at somebody for making you be inauthentic, right? I get mad at you for making me behave in ways that I don't feel are like myself. And I'm doing it to me.
Right.
Maybe it's in the
spirit of compromise. Maybe
right.
it's in the spirit of teamwork.
But now I have to do this thing. Right. I have to do this thing I didn't want to do or behave in a way I didn't want to behave. And it's your fault. Fuck mm-hmm. you. For making me be that way. Well, it's like, no, take some...
I tell you what, man, I mean, I know this is crazy, and this is so obvious, and like, you can knit it on a pillow or whatever, but going through this list, it's really just like, people don't communicate their truthful feelings until it is a last resort. That's what all six of these things tell me.
Yeah.
People don't truly say what they're feeling, what they're thinking, until they are backed into a corner, and then
right.
it comes out in a way... That is aggressive or sad. Because like even going back to the first one where it's like, hey man, I'm your boss and I feel like you guys are treating me kind of badly.
Right.
And that's not okay.
Yeah.
Like I'm in charge of this and I feel like you guys are steamrolling me and you don't get that I'm in charge of, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of these things that we feel like we can't say or, hey, I feel like I've been compromising this whole time.
Right.
Because I initially wanted to do this, this, and this. And like, listen, I feel like I've been doing a good job compromising, but now we're getting to a point in this where I feel like I'm not even being myself anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like all these things that you like, these are hard things to say in a room.
Sure.
It's like walking into a room into a party full of people you don't know. That David Foster Wallace thing where it's like,
yeah.
you can't walk into a room full of people you don't know and go, hi, I hope everybody likes me because I really need you to like me.
Yeah.
You can't say that.
Right.
But that's what you feel.
Definitely. Yeah. It reminds me of that Saturday Night Live sketch. I was Joe Montana was hosting the Saturday Night Live a long time ago.
That's when Saturday Night Live beat Mad TV 49-7.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It was the golden age of SNL.
It really was. The last second drive to comedy. But he played a character who could never tell a lie. And it was like, you know, he just said everything he thought. And you realize how much that breaks the social contract.
Yeah.
You know? That's fucked up that saying actually how you feel in any moment breaks the social contract. Like we have to always mask and obfuscate what we actually feel to other human beings all the time.
It's tough, man. And what's crazy is it comes from in most cases, in most of us, it really comes from, I don't want to hurt this other person or make them feel weird or bad.
Or I hope they don't make me feel weird or bad by saying that thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to reveal anything that they will then think is, you know, humiliating to me. It's
so strange.
Yeah.
It's so so many arguments just come from a position of fragility, like emotional fragility.
Yeah. And fear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is like, walk up to that diplomat you see on the road today, tell him you hate his foreign face.
Yeah. And then punch him. Yeah.
For a better tomorrow.
It's your responsibility as an American.
As a citizen of the world, really.
Yeah. Also, I want to say one quick thing about your list that you sent me on my phone.
Yeah, it's a great list.
It's great.
Thanks, man.
It is. I love it. And I'm so glad you sent it to me.
I knew you would.
And I will never feel that way about it.
Wow. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Would you like me to send the list of things that I've written about how I think you can improve? Because if we're being truthful,
yes.
I have made a huge list over the last couple of years of your failings and your shortcomings. And these are things that you can work on very easily as a person, I think.
Well, in the spirit of saying what we really feel, yes, please send that to me.
Awesome. It's going to take a while. Are you on Wi-Fi? Because I don't want to use up your data.
It's that large, huh? Oh, it's got a lot of GIFs.
Yeah.
Animated GIFs.
Of you, mostly.
Oh, my God.
Times I've caught you doing embarrassing and horrible things.
Okay.
How do you guys feel about this? What do you think if you were to examine yourself?
Yeah.
What do you think is the top reason of these six that you get into most of your arguments?
Or is there a reason that this doesn't cover? Is there something that you feel like you do that this doesn't? Is this a comprehensive enough list for you? We'd love to know.
Yeah. How many ways are you fucking up is what we're saying. Why don't you send those to us?
Send them to Anthony. He's going to add it to this, this Excel spreadsheet.
Add it to a list of our audience's failings, of which you have none. We thank you for listening. And you can tweet those to us. I'm at A. Carboni.
I'm at Jeff Cannata.
And you can hashtag those Evernote.
Yeah, they're not using it.
They're not using it. It won't be weird. There's nobody searching for that. At a company about technology and optimization.
It's going to be so awesome when some poor intern who's in charge of social media looks at all the failings of people, the reasons people fight, and they're like, what have we done?
But maybe Evernote looks at them all, adds them to their Trello board, and is like, we're not just going to fix the next version of Evernote. We're going to fix the world.
And you're welcome, Evernote.
And you're welcome, humanity.